Thank you for joining us tonight. This is Dr. Bush with Restore from Biomic Sciences, and we are joining Dr. Gary Gordon and his faculty and practitioners from around the world. So we appreciate all of you that are joining us on the line tonight, and we appreciate the opportunity, as always, to be working with Dr. Gordon. He's been a godfather of this field of integrative medicine, and it's been a real pleasure to get to know him over the last year and a half and all of his resources that he comes to bear on the industry and in the education realm. So, Dr. Gordon, if you're able to...
It's my privilege to introduce Zach Bush, who was president of his medical school class at the University of Colorado Health Science Center, with his MD, later became chief resident of the Department of Internal Medicine, University of Virginia. Over the last 12 years, he continued his medical and basic science knowledge. He's among the few physicians in the nation that are triple board certified. This is an overachiever, but we love him. Having completed training and certification in three fields, internal medicine, endocrinology and metabolism, and hospice and palliative care, he has published peer-reviewed articles and book chapters in the areas of infectious disease, endocrinology, and cancer. He uses Restore in his clinic, which was why I first sought him out. Friends of mine told me, you've got to meet this man, and he has seen significant improvement in patients with leaky gut, gluten intolerance, autism, type 2 diabetes, autoimmune diseases, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel, and in fact, when you understand and just read the label, because you're going to wind up wanting people you love to be on Restore. And, you know, some of them may accidentally pick up the bottle and read the word lignite extra, and you need to know that the reason I accepted his work carte blanche is because in my work of trying to detox people, I've worked with everything, including oral chelation, but we got into things like zeolite, which takes you into humic acid and fulvic acid. So when I picked up his bottle and I saw the word on it, lignite extracts, it wasn't all Greek to me because those are great part of the zeolite that I've been using to detox. So I was comfortable with the science, but what he's done is way beyond that. And I just have to have everybody on this line know that when you really understand the data that he can restore tight junctions, so it's a perfect name, restoring tight junctions, but it's a huge story because I'm just right now reading today's Economist, and the front cover is the right way to do drugs. They're going to legalize cannabis, but in this they talk about the intestinal flora and bugs in the system and liver and bugs and bacteria and what causes hepatic cirrhosis. Everybody is talking these days about this intestinal flora, and I have a back door I have to mention. When Dr. Bush told me that there should be 20 to 30,000 different strains, and the probiotics I was using had four or five strains, I kind of jumped on the idea that maybe it's better to have all 20,000, because he said the sicker you are, the more likely you're down to 3 or 4 or 5,000, you're missing 15 or 20,000. And it was made a lot of sense to me to start building that up, and especially since I am now putting all my patients not just on Restore, I also give all my patients a product that's going to revolutionize medicine. If you like IV glutathione, when you learn how to use the amazing product we have found, H2Bev, that gives you the hydrogen in a liquid form. And so now I'm using two beverages, but when we look at that as an approach to changing the practice of medicine, we really have to recognize that the power of what we're dealing with these two products is a basic level of restoring the immune system, because we are all born with 1,000 times too much lead. So with no further ado, I'm just so glad to have Dr. Zach Bush on the line. And you, many of you have questions. You're really wondering how to use that, because the first time I met him, he said, gee, doc, if you're having a problem with any pancreatic cancer patients, let's talk. And so it was clear there's an edge here. We don't use, obviously, any of our products for treating cancer, but maybe they help the body become more able to help to handle the challenges, and being 20,000 strains short made a great deal of sense to me to take people you love and learn what a lignite extract can do in changing your patients restoring tight junctions, getting rid of these food sensitivities, lowering inflammation. With no further ado, triple board certified, Dr. Zach Bush, I'm turning it over to you. We'll have further discussion, but we need to let you get the message out because this is so important. None of the doctors fully can imagine what you did when you put that little jars of something and you said, I'm restoring gut health. So let's talk about it.
Fantastic. Thank you for the introduction. And it's always exciting to be with a group of practitioners. All of you have many tools in your toolbox for bringing about health. A lot of you have found fantastic resources for your own family as well as your patients and all the people you touch in your practices. But I'll give a quick overview today in the event that you've haven't heard the whole story. I'm going to keep this pretty short because we do want most of this to be question and answer. But in a nutshell, the lignite extract that we have been using is the first to isolate from soil not the mineral content, but actually a family of molecules that are made by bacteria in the digestive process. And so when bacteria digest food, whether it's in the soil or in the gastrointestinal tract, there's a metabolic breakdown process that liberates not just micronutrients and macronutrients for the bioavailable delivery to the body, but these metabolites or side products that are coming out of the bacterial enzyme pathways. And these are large carbon ring molecules that we found in 2012 and recognized them as potential redox molecules. Previously, all the extracts that we've seen from soil, things that have mentioned by Dr. Gordon here, things like fulvic acid and humic acid, before that, shilajit from India, these products have largely been going after the mineral content. Others have been going after the kind of bentonite clay kind of factors, something similar that you would see to zeolite, where you have these small negative charged baskets of clay particles that are binding heavy metals and the like. So all of those are really dealing with mineral management. In contrast, what we went after in 2012 was these metabolites. Recognizing a redox molecule system is like saying you found a new language. And that's how it's all played the last 3.5 or 4 years of basic science and clinical use. The initial recognition that I had in 2012 was that, oh my gosh, that molecule looks a lot like the chemotherapy I was working with at the University of Virginia. Why is that sitting in soil? And that took us down a cancer pathway, did a lot of work in breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer cells, bladder cancer cells. Since then, we've taken tumor cells out of patients and grown those into immortalized fractions and studied it there as well. But as soon as we went into clinical use in cancer patients to try to support health in that population, we suddenly realized that we had found something much more profound and much more foundational in human health than just an adjunct to chemotherapy or something like that. What was happening is that these people were resolving long-standing dysbiosis or unbalanced bacterial ecosystems in their gut, and suffering long-term neurologic sequelae such as irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue, brain fog, and the like. And as soon as they were going on the product, even within days of use, we were seeing a resolution of symptoms that had been in years or of syndromes for these patients. And so that was when we started working with Dr. John Gilday and started really extensively working on the mechanisms of action of these carbon molecules, these redox molecules. And he was the first one to really identify them at the tight junction. And the tight junction, as you may know, is not just integral to the gut lining and responsible for creating that intelligent membrane between the outside world and your immune system. It also laces together all of the blood vessels of the body. And so the blood-brain barrier, all of the blood vessels, coronary vessels, cerebral vascular vessels, peripheral vessels, all of these endothelial cells of the vasculature laced together again by these tight junctions. And the tight junction work that Dr. Gilday was doing was around this pathway called zonulin. Zonulin is produced when the gut lining is hit by gluten breakdown products, which are namely gliadin. Gliadin, a breakdown product of refined gluten or even gluten in its native form, that gliadin produces a zonulin burst. The zonulin loosens the tight junction and makes bioavailable some of the larger macromolecules like soluble fibers and things like that that you can get from the grain that are healthy for the body. So thousands of years of gluten presence in the wheat was actually helpful for bioavailability of some of these nutrients. Unfortunately, in the 1970s, we added a new chemical compound, which was actually a chelator for a lot of critical minerals to biologic life. This chelator was used as a weed killer and became known as Roundup. Its active ingredient is the chemical glyphosate, G-L-Y-P-H-O-S-A-T-E. Glyphosate is used at least twice as much volume across the world as any other weed killer on the market, and it has increased in use pretty much increasing by 30 to 300% per year since the 70s. So really steady growth of the field, and that's because of differences in the usage of the chemical compound. When we started using glyphosate as a weed killer, it was really marketed to farming industry where it was used very sparingly because it is a non-selective weed killer. It will kill anything you spray it on, any plant. And so it would kill the crop as well as the weeds. And so farmers would use it to spot spray. And then in the 1980s, they went direct to consumer with their marketing. And you remember the Super Bowl commercials with guys walking out of their garage to a dramatic soundtrack with a pistol grip backpack sprayer of Roundup, and they shoot down the few dandelions in their driveway. And those dandelions, besides being superfoods for anti-cancer stuff and everything else, were really the reason why so much of this product ended up in our water system. We were spraying down our driveways and our lawns to kill weeds, and all of that residual washed off into our gutter systems, into our municipal water systems. And so that was the beginning of real significant consumption on the human level of the glyphosate compound that had immediate impact on this zonulin system in the gut. Glyphosate's about 3 to 10 times stronger of a toxin to the gluten, depending on your gut environment. And so the glyphosate can be really profound in all guts. Gluten can be more or less profound depending on your gut environment. But every gut lining is going to be vulnerable to zonulin overproduction and tight junction injury from the glyphosate compound. Currently in the U.S., we are using more than 300 million pounds of glyphosate in our soils every year. That number roughly doubles every 6 to 8 years over the last 20. And so 300 million pounds of this toxin into our food chain, and it's resulting in widespread leaky gut and leaky brain and leaky kidneys. The tight junctions of the blood vessels are critical in the kidney vasculature. As you remember, kidneys are just giant tangles of loops of capillaries, and when you damage those tight junction systems there, you stop being able to detox the system. And so with a leaky gut up front and a damaged detox system through the renal kidney path, in the area of chelation over the years, and that chelation was really to absorb and try to combat these collections of tight junctions. What we now see is that the oral chelation can be limited. There can be a plateau effect where you see some improvement, but you can't get the patient to your target because they literally cannot get rid of toxin in any pathway. And so a burst of glutathione or a burst of an IV chelator, it's short-lived in its process because the patient is literally a sponge for toxin from even a healthy diet. And so that's the challenge that we have when we have damaged tight junctions. And so the happy accident of finding Restore and an antidote to the zonulin pathway was an enormous, wonderful mistake for happy accident for public health. And so this is where we are today. We've shown that in many different studies now, even small doses of Restore are capable of combating even massive doses of glyphosate. We've taken small intestine lining to 20,000 times the EPA allowables in water, and that level of glyphosate continues to be combated effectively by the presence of Restore in those tight junction membranes. And so it really seems to act as a true antidote at the biologic level for these potent toxins that are zonulin stimulators. That tight junction recovery that you get once you start the product leads to all kinds of ramifications. First of all, in natural detoxification, your kidneys start detoxifying, liver, hepatocytes start detoxifying. We've had patients, many patients who are in chemotherapy and stuff like that, who will go on the product and see their liver enzymes improve and such. So lots of reasons to see that population impacted. We're going to show you on the screen now, if you're on Maestro Conference, you've got, if you signed up for it, if you scroll to the bottom of that email, there's a Join Social Webinar button. If you're not already on that, go ahead and click on that, and it'll bring up the screen share where you're seeing the immunohistochemistry. The immunohistochemistry here is showing the phenomenon of tight junction recovery and damage. And so in the left upper panel, you see the control. This is an antibody called ZO1. It is targeting a protein called ZO1. ZO1 is an element of the tight junction in the cell, in the intracellular space to tie one cell to the next. If you add to that control membrane, it changes its expression of tight junctions by about 20 to 30% within a couple hours. So even a healthy membrane increases its number of tight junctions expressed. If you do not have Restore on that membrane and you take that control membrane and add glyphosate, the bottom left panel occurs where you see breakup of the cells and you now have free epithelial cells from the gut lining floating in space there. Those tight junctions have now damaged to the point where the cells are no longer zippered together, and this is going to lead clinically to that incredible leaky gut phenomenon that we're seeing in epidemic proportions in our patient population. The excitement that we have around Restore is that to the bottom right panel there, you see all of those tight junctions zippered back up, all the cells tightly packed together. That re-zippering effect is the glyphosate shutting down the zonulin pathway, and the natural reconstruction of those tight junctions goes into play, and you've got a really coherent, intelligent membrane within hours of introduction of Restore. One of the first questions that's coming across the social webinar panel is it important in the timing that you take Restore? And our feeling is that it is, and we see this especially in very sensitive populations like our chronic Lyme patients who have seen a lot of antibiotics, or our autistic children who have lots of dysbiosis from birth. These populations tend to really benefit from the prevention strategy rather than the repair strategy. If you eat your meal and get exposed to glyphosate, which is pretty much a unanimous experience for us these days in an American food chain, even when you're eating organic, you still have residues that are detectable of your glyphosate. And so if you eat without Restore, you are going to have some glyphosate damage. We do recommend, if you've forgotten your dose before the meal, that you take it as quickly as you recall, so that you can quickly go about the process of allowing that body to re-zipper those tight junctions shut as the zonulin toxin shuts down. Dr. Gordon, did you have any comments there before I move on?
No, I just am so glad that you're getting this explanation out, because there's so many benefits I see in my patients, and I hadn't fully considered the changes that you would be doing to the kidney and to the heart, so I was thinking only of the gut, so I'm so glad to have you paint this bigger picture. Thank you.
Yeah, it's perfect. So here is probably the second location that we see most affected. And so we just had a conference call with Jeffrey Smith, who's become famous for his work in getting the message out on the dangers of genetically modified crops and all that. I was sitting with him a couple days ago, looking at large patients for those individuals that will go on a strict organic diet, the first two symptoms that they see improve the most, number one is their irritable bowel, loose stools, constipation, and their number two symptom that improves is brain fog or memory. And so that is really indicative of this twofold effect of glyphosate, where once it hits the gut lining, zonulin is produced by the gut epithelial cells. Once the epithelial cells produce the zonulin, zonulin goes systemic and is going to hit the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier has the same tight junctions, but at about 2 to 3 times the concentration in the intramembrane space, as you will see in the gut lining. And so this very dense tight junction system is to keep the brain in kind of that holy of holies spot. And so what we're really looking for with the use of Restore clinically is a twofold mechanism. And in our experience, we actually see the neurologic effects with irritable bowel syndrome and the mental stuff happen within minutes to hours often. So not unusual for patients with chronic IBS to start to sense an improvement in brain function, lifting a brain fog in the first 30 hours, and then in the first day to 3 days, seeing a real marked change in their digestive patterns. So that is the overall pattern that we're seeing with clinical use. We recommend it before the meal so that you can prevent the damage, and then we recommend a 3-time-a-day strategy because of the biologic behavior that we see in our autistic children. They're the population that helped us map the biologic half-life of Restore better than any other population. The biologic half-life seems to be somewhere around 4 to 6 hours. And so if you miss your midday dose in a autistic child, the mother is likely to notice more tantrums, more psychomotor hyperactivity and other things in the afternoon. Whereas if they catch that before the meal and dose at lunch, they're more likely to have a really nice continuous protection of the tight junction system. One of the interesting things to note is that once you get severe dysbiosis in a patient, it's no longer just glyphosate that's causing the tight junction damage and the leak. Glyphosate may have been one of their initial injuries, but once you start to really get unbalanced bacterial environment in the gut, all of you are seeing many situations like Candida and Klebsiella and Pseudomonas, E. coli overgrowth, small bowel overgrowth, all of these things. All of those are symptoms of severe imbalance in the bacterial biome. And as many of you know, that some of those quote-unquote pathologic or invasive bacteria that we can see grow in a weed-like fashion in a patient that's got a damaged gut, those compounds make lipopolysaccharide. And lipopolysaccharide, or LPS, is really potent at damaging the tight junction, again, through the zonulin pathway. And so it's an interesting phenomenon. It's kind of a positive feedback loop or vicious cycle that occurs at the biologic level, that when you start eating herbicides and pesticides that are destroying the bacteria, your health declines, you get put on antibiotics, and now you have three things, the herbicides, the pesticides, and the antibiotics that are all killing the bacteria. As that happens, you get weed-like overgrowth of other bacteria that are supposed to be represented in very small amounts, and they end up becoming a majority player, these weeds cropping up. And in that situation, they start fueling the fire that's already burning by creating the lipopolysaccharide environment. And so we see this really positive feedback loop that's leading to many of the more systemic symptoms that we see with chronic pain syndromes, autoimmune disease, everything from rheumatoid arthritis to latent autoimmune diabetes in the adult, which is really a new phenomenon. We never used to see that before. So lots of very interesting autoimmune stuff happening now that we've got such vicious cycles of leaky gut and beyond. And so those are some of the situations that you're going to be looking for in your patients when you're looking for your ideal population. Are they eating American diet? If yes, do they have any symptoms of leak, either at the blood-brain barrier or at the gut? If so, then that's your target population. In my clinic over the last 4 years, I've got to say it's a pretty rare day when I find a patient that doesn't have symptoms of either gut or neurologic sequelae of leaky gut, leaky brain. All right. Turn to another question here that's coming across. So the clinician who has a patient with chronic diarrhea, and about 3 to 5 times daily with bowel movements that were practitioner had her take 1 tablespoon 3 times a day of Restore, I assume, and she did this for about 10 to 14 days with no effect. Did it need to be longer to have an effect? She was eating more organic and avoiding gluten. So in this situation with more than just the zonulin pathway, and say you just moment adding Restore, you're going to be looking for parasite and there's the other relative C. diff colitis. And so that would definitely be a patient that I would check a C. diff level on. C. difficile is one of the more potent lipopolysaccharide producers. And in those situations, you may have to go to a higher use than just the tablespoon 3 times a day. We do use patient in clinic uses as high as 3 to 5 times a day in frequency and volumes as much as 2 to 3 tablespoons in that 3 to 5 day times per day. And so you can really amp it up. Our safety trials are second to none. We can take epithelial cells from kidney tubules or from gut lining, and we can take those to 90% concentrations. That's 90% concentrations of Restore, and there is no increase in cell toxicity. In fact, we increase cell longevity with those enormous doses. So safer than almost any compound we've ever seen in regard to cell longevity. And so you can really amp up the use. In general, I do not see any point in going higher than about a quarter cup a day. So it's really kind of your maximum benefit that I would expect to get from the product. So for your chronic diarrhea patient, you might want to do a little bit further workup. I'm an endocrinologist in a bit of an unusual population, but at 3 to 5 times a day diarrhea, you're at every one possibility inflammatory for that. And you can also think about the endocrine disorders. And so there's a number of endocrine tumors that with tumors of the abdomen can do that and a number of other things. So if you're really seeing no change with a really effective tight junction product like you have with Restore, and you continue to have unchanging bowel habits, then I would look further and look beyond the typical leaky gut pattern. Another question coming in here is says, hi, I was wondering if it will help to get rid of cervical cancer tumors. Have tried many different protocols, and so far nothing has seemed to have any effect on it. I've had a tumor in there for 3 years, and I have a protocol I'm doing that keeps it controlled so it doesn't grow larger but won't get rid of it. Thanks. So this is speaking specifically to a chronic tumor. It's interesting that you've got a regimen here that is keeping the tumor at a zero growth pattern. We do see that relatively frequently in our clinic with a number of different regimens that are used out there in the world. When you see a tumor stop growing, even if it doesn't disappear, you really have to reevaluate the word cancer at that point, because a cancer cell has to grow to survive. Cancer cells are inherently profoundly damaged cells that do not have the ability for cell repair, and therefore they replicate at a relatively fast rate. And so if you really have been able to check growth completely for 3 years, you may not have a viable cancer cell left in there, and so I don't know if that's been re-biopsied or re-evaluated, but that'd be one of my first things to do. If you've got a stable mass, I would recheck its characteristics. You may just have a fibrous dead mass of old tumor that's now just scar tissue more than anything. So I would reevaluate and make sure you know what you're working with there. If you want further assistance with your protocol, and you wanted to employ something like Restore as an agent to improve your immune system effect and add an extra layer of therapy to your current protocol, for that health pursuit, then I would think about using it vaginally as well as orally. And so we use this in the case of patients who have tumors in the rectum or sigmoid colon, or patients with vaginal tumors, or patients with oral cancers. You're going to try to get the product as close to the tumor as possible. So there's always the oral approach. I think that one's getting at the root cause. But you can also get a local effect with an anti-inflammatory effect that the Restore has for acrylamide. You can get that anti-inflammatory effect by getting it as close to the source as possible. And so in this case, doing a vaginal douche or using a syringe bulb to introduce a tablespoon or a couple tablespoons into the vaginal bulb a few times a day would be appropriate adjunct. But you don't want to forget about the oral therapy. Cancer is an interesting story. Cancer, as you know, is not really a disease. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of a system that's shutting down from a complete and total lack of communication at the cell level. A cancer cell is literally a cell that's completely lost identity of its source. It's lost your core identity, and it's become its own entity. And it's simply trying to divide for survival because it's forgotten that it's a part of you. And so that lost and lonely, isolated cell is not something that is really a disease that leaps out of nowhere. It takes about 20,000 injuries at the genomic level to get a tumor cell to turn into a cancerous behavior. And so if you're diagnosed with a cancer, what you're really diagnosed is with a symptom of a system that's been shutting down for a long time from an utter lack of communication at the cell level. And so in that situation, you're looking for communication at the tissue level. And there's nothing more potent than redox molecules to get that system of communication up and running again. Clinically, we use Restore as our front line, but we also use the adjuvant of ASEA, A-S-E-A. That is an oxygen redox molecule supplement that's been on the market since 2010. Dr. Gary Samuelson is the PhD atomic physicist behind the stabilization of that product. Brilliant scientist and one of the leading scientists in the world of oxidative medicine now. And so those products are a good way to bring cell-cell communication back into play. So that's a quick overview of our take on cancer. It's not really a disease, more of a symptom. UCLA and UCSD, back as far as 2008 and 2009, were putting out publications to suggest that if you have this type of bacteria in your gut, you'll get this type of cancer. If you're lacking this type of bacteria in your gut, you'll get this type of cancer. So they were linking biome, microbiome patterns with cancers as far back as that 2007-2009 timeframe. And that was a lot of the reason that the NIH got funded in their gut genome project that started in 2007 and really got going in 2010 when they got their first 10,000 species underway. They had to get 44 subjects enrolled in that genome study before they hit 10,000 species bacteria. As mentioned by Dr. Gordon earlier, is we've got an estimate of 20 to 30,000 species in a healthy gut. So it takes a lot of individuals to find what should be a healthy biome in each of us. And so that's where Restore has its second pronged approach. Number one, I think, is its tight junction function. But number two is really its ability to expand and diversify the bowel flora. And that can be pretty profound. We have seen patients with completely devastated bowel ecology following very long chemotherapy regimens, et cetera, that are having sterile stools where they're passing just white chalk stools. 4 days later, they're passing brown bowel movements for the first time. So you can really get that organic material back into the gut very quickly as you expand the biome and get that healthy soil of the gut going.
Okay, so Dr. Bush, I'm going to jump in right now, and we're going to do a poll. Adam, if you can launch that first poll for our listeners.
Sure. All right. Hi, everyone. Here's the first poll question, and you can participate by pressing a number on your phone keypad. So the first question is, what percentage of your patients use probiotics in your practice? Okay, so if it's under 25%, press 1 on your phone. If it's between 25 and 50%, press 2. 50 to 75%, press 3. And if it's above 75%, press 4. Again, the question is, what percentage of your patients use probiotics in your practice? Okay, under 25%, 1, 25 to 50, press 2, 50 to 75, press 3, and over 75%, press 4. And let's see. Okay, great. A lot of you have participated. Again, just press a number on your phone keypad or just raise the hand in the social webinar. It looks like, I'm looking at the results here, most people press 2, so between 25 and 50%, and then about equal responses, about half of that, of the people who press 2, each press 1, 3, and 4. So other than 2, kind of an even spread. Thanks for putting
it. Right. Great. Thank you so much, Adam. And we are going to give our first free bottle of Restore away right now, and that goes to Brock Schwartz. Brock, if you can email us your mailing address, you can email D, as in Delta, D Roberts at restore4life.com. That's D Roberts at restore4life.com, Brock Schwartz. And so right now, we are going to take some live questions. If you have a question, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will call on you. 1 on your keypad. Anyone has a question?
I'll go ahead and take one of the written questions, if that's okay.
Okay. It's fine.
It's a follow-up to the question about the vaginal use, the question on rectal use. For your patients that you're going to use it rectally, you're going to use typically as much as the patient can do a retention enema with. So that can be anywhere from 1 tablespoon, which is 15 milliliters, to as much as 1/4 cup. And so see how much they can tolerate as a retention enema. And even if that's down as little as 5 milliliters, they have some benefit for them. Have them maximum use that they can tolerate as a retention enema. If they can hold that for 20 to 40 minutes, that would be ideal. Longer would be fantastic. But if it's less than 20 minutes, then I would recommend just decreasing the volume to the point where they're comfortable with that retention of the enema volume. So anywhere from that 5 milliliters to as much as 100 milliliters would be a good approach to the enema. And I typically will use not just a syringe, but actually those squeeze bulbs that you would use for clearing the nasopharynx of an infant. Those infant squeeze bulbs are very effective with delivering those small volume enemas. So that's a couple of approaches there. David, did we have anybody raise their hand there for an oral question?
Yes, Anne Marie Welch, you're live. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Does the timing of taking Restore impact its effects? Does it need to be taken before meals? Because I always forget. Can you take it during the meal, afterwards, or between meals and get equally good effects?
Yeah, you're going to get the same effect at the tight junction regardless of what time you take it. You're going to get the same bacterial expansion regardless of what time you take it. The benefit is really an energetic benefit. The energy that it takes to respond to an injury can be quite significant. And so if you're going to eat the meal and not have Restore on board beforehand, you're going to have an injury from the meal, and then you're going to have an energetic output as you recover that injury when you do finally take the Restore. And so from an energy standpoint, I think you're better off taking it before the meal, but you're going to certainly have biologic efficacy with the product regardless of what.
Right. So Dr. Bush is joining us from Mexico, where he is working on his book on gut health. He sounds like he's dropped off. Dr. Bush,
so
is
I want to
with us.
Me? Can you hear Dr. Gordon? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Dr. Gordon. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you, Dr. Gordon. Yes, we can hear you.
I just want to mention that I don't have my patients continue using probiotics once I have them fully educated on the appropriate use of Restore. So I think it's important for people to understand that probiotics are giving you 5 or 10 and you're missing 10,000, so I don't usually keep them on you. Unless they've had some dramatic success with it for some reason, I want to mention that. Next thing is, since many of our patients have significant problems of the health of their mouth, I'd like everybody to please emphasize this idea of swishing it through the teeth and holding it in the mouth for a couple of minutes. You're hearing how it's going to help the vagina, how it's helping the rectum. The mouth is not healthy on 95%+ of us, so please emphasize that it's save an awful lot of money with the dentist if we would swish through our teeth. I actually have seen the restoration of gum growth, healthy gums. And another thing is that, in case you haven't heard about it, there's a thing called CyberScan, which is trying to measure some of the energetic imbalances magnetically in our environment. It's called cybernetic biofeedback. Why do I care? Because Dr. Bush has told you that if you use this wonderful Restore rectally and in the vagina and everything, but I really was surprised to think that we could just spray it on skin that wasn't doing well. And so if you just take some of this and get a simple little sprayer and let people carry it with, because I've seen patients with clear-cut what is normally considered basal cell or other cancers by repeatedly spraying it. But I did cheat a little bit because I have these $31,000 cyber skin, which makes a little – it's like personalizing a homeopathic for you. But I just wanted to mention that there are so many applications for Restore, but – most people need to know it is very much desirable if we could be lucky enough to remember it before we eat the poisonous food we're about to consume. We'll still get the benefit, as he said, but if you could really combine that with the idea that people don't have healthy gums, we all have low-level periodontal disease, and this is just a bargain, and it's so amazing that you could spray it repeatedly on something and see lesions and that may have been looking at psoriasis. There's so many benefits with what we're doing. So I'm glad that we've moved, because my own thinking for a long time, I just thought gut. And I hadn't really considered what's going on with the liver and what's going on in the kidney. And so I'm glad that you've heard that we can't harm anybody. And when you realize the serious health conditions many of our patients face, 3 tablespoons 3 times a day is certainly, you're spending money, but compared to the money that is spent in drug approach to many of these things, and when he tells you that a patient with white stool in 4 days, I mean, we see our pets dramatically stop having loose bowels and irritable bowels. I mean, with as little as a teaspoon for a 55-pound dog, that's 5 cc's in a syringe, just put together, it tastes good. So the application for Restore just go on and on. Have we been able to reestablish contact with Dr. Bush?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Yes, I hear you. Thank you. Then please take over.
Right. I could hear excellent. I could hear you guys throughout, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah. We'll take one more question. Donald Meyer, you're live.
Oh, I was wondering... I was wondering, how does the Restore actually recreate all of the very large population of bacteria in the gut?
Perfect. That's a great question. And so as Dr. Gordon was speaking there, the probiotics are bringing you 10 to 20 species at best. And the problem therein, it really lies in the chronic use. And so adding billions of copies of 10 species may be a good idea for a couple weeks if you have a patient who has severe bacterial overgrowth of a more invasive species. It could help you for a couple of weeks, but if with chronic use, you're going to end up narrowing the biome of the gut rather than expanding it. What Restore does is it functions as a really potent fertilizer to the gut, basically. And so by getting this communication network back in play between the bacteria, you allow for balance to happen. Most of the bacteria that repopulate the gut are not even consumed orally. They're actually breathed. And so through the breath of your patient, you're going to actually repopulate the gut very quickly. Restore is a sterile product. There are no bacteria in it. And what we see is that as soon as you start the product, you see expansion of the bacterial biome. And so you're going to actually see bulking of the stools within days of use. And this happens even in a healthy population of patients. And so that bulking of the stool is indicative of an expansion both in the number of each species as well as the number of species. And that's really a profound effect. And what we do is as soon as we start patients on Restore, we have them try to get into as many environments as possible. Remember when you ferment a vegetable, we think of fermented foods as a great way. The fermented foods were obviously the first probiotics out there. The fermented foods are getting their bacteria from the air. And so all of those healthy lactobacilli, those hundreds of species that can populate a wild culture fermented sauerkraut or something like that, that's all coming from the air. You don't need the vegetable as your endpoint of that culture. You can actually just breed those bacteria in the same way. As you know, there's a lot lower incidence of asthma and food allergy and eczema in developing countries. Those children are exposed to many more biome environments than the children in the industrial world that are in drywall shell of house, into an air-conditioned car, into an air-conditioned school with mold in it. Those kids just are not exposed to healthy biome. Whereas your kids who are running around here in Mexico, where I've been and have had the opportunity to be teaching in an elementary school of international kids here the last couple of days, these kids are doing school in an open-air classroom and have a Maya permaculture garden behind their school building that they run around in throughout the day. Those kids throughout the biome introduction. In addition, they're back out to the beach in the afternoons after school, and they're running around in that ecosystem. And so when you see patients with very narrow bacterial biomes, you can use. And so restoring the bacterial species back in, their environment's waiting to add those back in. As soon as we're into play, you have the fertilizer and the communication network to both foster and support balance in that bacterial biome and allow for a natural, healthy expansion of the bacterial biome. Thanks for the question. It's a good one.
Great. We're going to take another question. Paula Heller, you're live.
I'll go ahead and answer this one here while we're waiting for the next question. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
In which we deliver this for infant or breastfeeding, it's used by the nipple of the mother. It takes only a couple of drops of the product onto the nipple of the breast right before breastfeeding. It's my favorite way to deliver it. It's going to foster the health of the mother's skin flora as she's breastfeeding, in addition to helping the child who's now suckling that breast. And just like Dr. Gordon said, one of the most critical areas of bench. So that in the mouth and the child suckling or expand that to something like 2 milliliters in your child to eat about a third of a teaspoon, half a teaspoon in a child who's 6 to 9 months old and starting to eat solid foods. And then once you're at 2 years of age, you can go ahead and go to that teaspoon a few times a day. Would be fine. Again, you're not going to overdose the child, but you also don't need to waste the product. I think those little intestinal tracts get a huge bang for the buck with these very small usages. It's pertinent here as asked about autistic patients and results in autistic patients, a question as to whether you should use rectal Restore in autism. I think that it is not a bad idea to try that route, but we find huge efficacy in the oral route. And so in general, it's not necessary to go to a rectal route. But it is something you may want to put into play in your more affected individuals or the ones that are not having a positive response to oral Restore. And so that effect, again, in the autistic child can just take a few drops. We usually start our very sensitive patients, which would include the autistic patient or the chronic Lyme patients, just at like 3 to 5 drops of Restore a day. When you fix that tight junction lining, an enormous array of biologic events start into play. You start hydrating that patient in ways they've never been hydrated before. An autistic child, and by definition, was really born dehydrated, and then there was an event that made them leaky gut and everything else. And so when you fix that tight junction system and that child's finally able to hydrate, there's an enormous change in their electrolyte balance across the cell membranes, across the neurons. You can see all kinds of what looks like adverse behavior in those first weeks and months as the neurologic and peripheral systems start to adjust to normal hydration, normal electrolyte balance, normal protein production, et cetera. So you're really going to affect really dramatically those very sensitive populations. So for them, 3 to 5 drops under the tongue a couple times a day, and then every few days you can double that use until you're up at the goals of a teaspoon a few times a day.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Bush. We're going to give another free bottle away. Mark Peterson, congratulations. You will get the next free bottle. Please email broberts@restore4life.com. Mark Peterson. Another question. We'll try Paula again. Paula, you're live.
I'm so sorry. I didn't go through last time. So I have two questions. One is, can you develop a tolerance from taking it continuously? And two, I'm sure you cover this, and I'm so sorry, but I would assume that this is excellent for leaky gut. Can you just confirm?
Yes. So my question is, this is a foundational therapy for supporting the biologic repair of tight junction systems, both in the gut as well as the blood-brain barrier. And so certainly the first product on the market that's capable of this level of reparative support at the tight junction system via frontline therapy. In regards to the first part of your question you were asking about, and that's already slipped my mind. Can you jog my memory on that, David?
That was,
if you can develop sensitivity.
Oh,
by taking it day in, day out, right?
Can you develop sensitivity to it?
It just gets better and better.
Right.
The longer you take it.
All right, Dr.
Right.
Gordon.
That's right. Yeah, so I would agree with Dr. Gordon on that one. So it is actually a positive feedback loop that's really beneficial. As you take Restore, your bacterial biome increases, and you start making more Restore yourself. And so your bacteria, as they expand to 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 bacteria, you're going to make more and more of these Restore metabolites in your own gut. And so you're going to become less dependent on the use of the product. And we see that after 18 months, 24 months of use, a lot of our patients can stop the product for as much as 2 to 4 weeks before they start to decline. And we think that they're declining because of this severe exposure to glyphosate in the American food chain. So in an ideal situation, we'd all get up to 20,000, 30,000 species, and we would be done, and we wouldn't need the product anymore. And I think that is the situation that we're going to get to as we change the food industry. And our hope as a company is not that we just get Restore out to the world, but that the science of Restore changes the field so that Restore is not such a critical part of our clinical toolbox. And we really think that if we change the legislation and industrial use of the product, we're going to see a huge improvement in public health far beyond just the use of a product.
The good bacteria are responsible for making a gas in our body that might explain why hydrogen has now become a very hot topic in very advanced medical circles. And it seems to me that with glyphosate, we induced an epidemic of not just the oxygen deficiency, but hydrogen. So I want to alert everybody that we're going to be having all of you come and join FACT, which is my forum on anti-aging and chelation therapy. And we have members now in 53 countries. We're up to 4,500 members. And when you join, you go to Gordon Research, my website, and you'll be able to join my school, which is free. and you'll swap war stories with doctors in 53 countries who use things like Restore. But I wanted to throw out, to titillate you, because as much as I love my Restore, and I don't go a day without it, I was astonished when I drank the first really stable level of hydrogen in water, and it was pain-free. Within 10 minutes, my back pain was gone. So there's more to learn about these missing guys that we don't have because of glyphosate. So that's another deficiency you didn't know you had. But turning it back over to Dr. Bush, I wanted to chime in because we are going to make sure that people know that GordonResearch.com is my homepage. Longevity Plus is where we sell products, but Gordon Research is where members link up with my 4,500 friends in 53 countries who love swapping information about how to cure various conditions and how many interesting ways can you use Restore you hadn't thought of. So back to you, Dr. Bush.
Fantastic. Well, very good. I think we're about ready to wrap up. But David, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, we're going to give a case of 16-ounce bottles of Restore to Hillel Glover. Hillel, please email me at droberts@restore4life.com. That goes to Dr. Glover. Email me your mailing address at D, as in David, Roberts@restore4life.com. We're also going to, for listeners, we'll be emailing this out to you, but we do have a special going on. If you go to restoreforlife.com, if you're interested in testing Restore and trying it, we have a special going. You can use the coupon code Gordon, as in Dr. Gordon, Gordon20, to get 20% off small orders. If you're interested in wholesale and want to buy a case or more, you can use the code Gordon40. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. Thank you, Dr. Bush. Thank you, Dr. Gordon.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all for joining the call. We appreciate it.